so far we've seen mostly stuff here that's for the smaller breeds and maybe medium. What if you have, let's say, a Malamute or a St. Bernard? Is there anything in the works for them?
There are, and I think that's where the continued life of the show comes, because I think now they're thinking larger, and I think there are orthopedic issues with larger dogs. I think they age differently than younger dogs and have more arthritic conditions. And so I think that I know that there are pieces in the work. I don't know how far they are or how far they've come, but there are some larger breeds will contend add on to this exhibit, and they will be included as it continues to travel. I can see this traveling around the world and around the world and around the world. And it's been interesting with international press that are sort of amazed by Americans and how these dogs are so pampered and so loved. And it's really been exciting to have major broadcasts from across the world coming here and interviewing, and to see, you know, their questions and what their questions are like are a little bit different, because they come from a place of, okay, you Americans, what's going on? And at the same time, you know, they're like, oh, this would be great for my dog. And I think people are reexamining that use for it. But Long Beach is a very dog-friendly city, and I think everybody I know has a dog. But I think in other places of the world, they're not as much, or they're not treated as a house companion. They're working dogs and working breeds. But I think those dogs deserve that same respect, and they also deserve that same quality of someone of truly talented and genius minds to come through and examine what that working dog's life is like. So I think it's a good thing.
What's your own dog's verdict about any of these?
She loves the pug, a little cave that we have up here. It's a wonderfully geometric worked piece that put together. It looks like it could be a large inverted diamond almost. It's really quite lovely. She loves that, and she likes it because she can stick her head out anywhere around it, and again is watching what's happening around the world, but also has a little bit of fun of being sort of underneath this structure. Because of her mood, some days I would have expected she would like the mirror most, but nope. Doesn't care about the mirror. She loves this. Any sense of adventure. When I first adopted her, the book said, you know, the Irish Terrier never turns down an invitation to play. And that is exactly her. So she's very adventurous. And anytime it's like, you know, she's like, okay, Dad, what now? So she's thought that was great. The buggy with the stroller, that doesn't work for her. You know, she really wants to be on the ground moving and, you know, letting me know that she's running the game, so it's fun to watch her action around these.
She sounds as much in charge as my cats. They are in charge in our house.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing, and you'll see, you know, them do something, and you're going, oh my God, you're totally playing me on this. You know, you knew it all along, and now, you know, it's like, now I'm finding out you actually are just ignoring me when I'm telling you this, you know. What entertainment. It's just great. You know, and as Kenyahara first, you know, pointed out, I mean, we've been breeding these dogs for centuries to look like they look and to have the attributes that they do and to do the things they do with their working dogs and or, you know, companions. And it's just, you really have, I think this whole exhibit takes you back to kind of re-examining your own dog and your lives together. And I think it's interesting to look kind of deeper into the Irish Terrier than I probably did on the surface, other than, you know, her being physically appealing and, you know, having a wonderful spirit about her. But I'm sort of rethinking what it is in my own home that I need to make adjustments for.
How long are you going to have the five structures out back for people to actually take advantage of with their dogs?
You know, those will be here through the exhibit. And I think depending on the amount of activity they're getting, I think that we'll probably keep them up through into the fall, because people keep coming back and coming back for that. So they won't be permanent installation pieces, but they will be available here through the fall. This closes on September 1st, and it opens in Tokyo. There's a wonderful catalog that's being produced about this show, how it came to Genesis, and then a lot of footage, a lot of interviews, a lot of photographs from Long Beach Museum of Art. And then half of the book will be us and about the installation here. The other half, when you flip over, will be in Japanese, and that will be about the exhibit in Tokyo. And Kenyahara considers himself first a graphic designer. And I think he loves that, but he has his hands in many, many things. And so this book is, he's very proud of, and I've seen some of the initial designs and some of the layouts of the pages from Long Beach, and it's going to be quite wonderful. And so I'm going to feel that I'm really missing out on the party if I don't get to the Tokyo opening, because what I understand is that from the press, they're already asking questions here, that they're really anticipating a huge opening for this exhibit and an outpouring for the popularity of it. And I think it's going to be an exciting time for them. And I think that's where it's really going to build internationally even a larger audience. So
I hope you get to go to Tokyo. How exciting.
It's so beautifully designed. I mean, I love Japan, but it's like, you know, everything works. It's on time. It's clean. It's lovely. And everything is designed so well. And, you know, and I really appreciate that. And it's a really wonderful, world-class, you know, amazing city. And the activity never stops. And I've never, ever felt threatened there in any way. There's a safety. There's, you know, it's an appreciation and a kindness and a polite society that is just lovely. I lost a boarding pass once, and I thought, oh boy, I'm never going to make this plane or get on this plane. And everyone apologized to me 100 times of how stressed I must be because I lost that. Not to worry, and we'll take care of this. I thought, there isn't another country where that would ever happen. They were so lovely about it, and, you know, were still apologizing to me as I was getting on the plane, and I was, like, so embarrassed, you know, I do this, I travel around the world, you know, but, and I was expecting, you know, that this large, you know, sort of backlash, well, how do we know who you are, but it was really, it was very sweet, and I had a lot of those experiences there.
That is lovely. I would love to see that. As we wrap up here, Ron, if you had to pick one favorite moment that you have had with Architecture for Dogs, what would be one of those?
You know, I think it would be a King Charles Spaniel that came, and it got to try out all the toys outside, but kept coming back to the Kenyahara piece and loved that piece. And the owners were letting, you know, that dog do exactly that. And, you know, trying to take it away from that piece, the dog was like, no, no. And I just keep thinking about that and looking at that. It's like, wow, you know, this dog really, really responded to this. And I think the owners were going home to download the plans and make the piece for their dog because they were like, taking, you know, someone's Christmas present or toy away. So it was really, that was a memorable experience with it, and a really lovely little dog, and obviously a dog that needed to be a little bit higher off the ground. So, and that it has. So, yeah, it's been great.
Ron, thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm just so thrilled to share this with everyone, and I invite everyone to see it before September 1st.